Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Everybody, you tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm here today with my...
I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, today.
No, Andrew. I'm changing things around. Oh. It's the 100th show.
Is it the wine?
It's the 100th show of Flash Talks Cash on the Heritage Radio Network. And we're going to change it around because Drew says that it gets stale, and I'm going to change it around. So I'm here today with my host, my co-host.
Your host? I'm the host
Andrew,
now?
My son, Newman, who's in a chippy mood today. Sometimes he's in a lousy mood. And, of course, the illustrious Joey G in the booth.
Hello, everyone.
And I'm Joanne Flash Fleming, the host.
Can we lower her mic or something? Because she seems like she's yelling at everybody.
Oh, boy. God. Okay. And so we're on every Thursday from 4:30 to 5, and we stream live, and we'd love to hear from you while we're streaming. You can call us.
718-497-2128.
Or email us.
info@heritageradionetwork.org.
And we would be happy to speak to you or read your comments on air while we're streaming. Of course, if you can't listen live while we're streaming live, you can tune in. It's on the website all the time. Today's show.
Or you can download a podcast from iTunes.
You could do that.
Whatever. Just go to the website.
Go to the website, and there's a lot of options.
There's a lot of things going on the website these days.
And today's show, we're talking about the upcoming election.
What election?
Regarding... And today we're going to take into account the issues that are happening today and how it's going to affect that election and what impact it's going to do. So first, I want to give you some numbers because we're a money show. We're all about numbers, right? I just want to give you some general information. The first presidential debate will be in 20 days. The countdown to the VP debate, 28 days. That'd be interesting to see this Paul Ryan guy talk. Of course, Biden's going to be up against him, so I don't know how that's going to go. The second presidential debate in 33 days, the third presidential debate in 39 days, and the election day is 54 days away.
54 days?
Yeah, it's not that far away.
Hoorah.
And so what happened this week, last week, the week before? Well, we had two conventions, and I thought they were very telling. The Democrats appear to have a pretty good show. And the Republicans...
That's all because of Bill Clinton.
And the... Well, I thought Michelle Obama did a really good job. I thought that Obama spoke very eloquently.
Of course.
You got to see a side of Obama that I hadn't seen in a few years. He's a smart guy. And we all know he's a smart guy. And he has to just learn how to deliver his message. And he's doing a better job.
Deliver or deliver on his message?
Well, deliver his message. You know, deliver his message and make
Speaking a message is different than actually acting on a message. Do you not agree?
Yeah, that's okay. Absolutely. It's actions versus what you say and what you do. Right. However, you know, I think that he's a solid guy. I just think he doesn't deliver his message very well. And
really?
Over the past three
I think he's
and a half
very
years,
good speaker.
He doesn't deliver his message. He doesn't tell you what he's doing.
Better than Mitt Romney does.
Well, you're comparing crap to somebody who's...
I understand that. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know what you're getting so upset about. I want to see you stand up there in front of millions of people.
I'm not going to be the president of the United States.
Well, judge not lest ye be judged.
Oh, shut up.
This is a Christian nation.
Okay. So
did you not know that?
With that, I want to move on to... So the conventions were very telling. I look forward to the debates because I think Romney against Obama in a debate is going to be awful. Because if you recall during the Republican primary debates, every time, there was a bunch of them, and every debate, a new candidate came up and soared all the way up to the top for a week or two, and then they plummeted. And Romney never changed. His constituency was always like, or his ratings were always like 20%. They never changed. And then, you know, somebody, Kane would come along and all those crazy guys would come along. But so, he doesn't really appeal to a lot of people. So when he does the debate against Obama, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a real losing proposition for
It's going to be a hoot. I think it's going to be a hoot nanny. We're going to have a lot of fun with that one. You don't think so? I think it's going to be interesting.
I think that Romney's probably going to get himself buried.
I was in Florida this weekend, and I unfortunately missed the Heritage Radio bash.
Oh, we had a good bash.
I heard it was a good party. But while I was down there, I was watching television, and there was an ad from Mitt Romney saying, are you better off than you were 3.5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, that's the standard.
No, I got that. But then he proceeded to say, Florida, I'm going to create thousands of jobs and infuse the state with money, like $700 million in money and about 70,000 jobs. And then he just ended his message. And that's all he said.
That's right. Doesn't tell you how a plan, I'm how just he's
like,
going to do it.
I understand it's a 30-second message, but like, back it up with something.
Absolutely. It only takes.
Florida's a weird place politically.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's
well, it's a state that can go either way.
It's a swing state.
Swing state, yeah.
But it's just, depending on where you are in the state, it's night and day.
Joe, I had to just laugh, bro. I was just sitting, I was like, thank you.
Well,
wow, that's amazing. I can't wait for that to happen.
It's mostly red. It's mostly red, unfortunately. Speaking of the ads, the Obama campaign is slightly outspending Romney in every state but North Carolina. But when you factor in the outside groups, Team Obama is outspending Team Romney in Colorado, Ohio, Florida, New Hampshire, and Wisconsin, while Team Romney is dominant on the airwaves in Iowa, Virginia, Nevada, and North Carolina. They're spending a lot of money on this campaign. And I often think about that. All the money they spend on this, what better use they can do with that money.
Well, these are the job creators working.
Yeah, these are the job creators. You're right.
They're creating jobs. Did you know? Well, they're backing Mitt Romney to create jobs. This is how he creates jobs.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Well, let's get to a little more serious situation the past...
I think this is... Oh, you're going to talk about...
past 2 days.
How was that?
The outrage and the upset in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be worse. Unfortunately, this crazy video leaked. Well, not leaked.
It was posted. It just got translated.
Posted on YouTube, right, into Arabic. And it infuriated the Muslim people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was a stereotype of a Muslim produced it's by Christi- a Muslim hater.
It's a Christian extremist who created something about Muhammad.
And, you know, we do have a freedom of speech. And in America, mm-hmm. but the Muslims don't see that. They don't see that artistic, creative.
Well, that was neither artistic nor creative.
Well, but you know that's the defense that
it's
they
like
have
the
in America.
Ku Klux Klan. It's the same message. Okay. You know, so, many different groups have used
you
before.
You know, it wasn't a nice depiction of any Muslim, and you know, there's extremists in every group.
Indeed,
and that doesn't make it. That you could go and
the extremists on one side infuriate the extremists on another
correct.
Side. And then they're the ones who bash everyone, and the ones in the middle are the ones who get left behind.
Yeah, and we're all sitting there going, isn't this horrible? Well, what is there to do? Of course, it was denounced. All of it was denounced by our president and our Secretary of State.
It was also denounced by the people in Libya and Egypt. Everyone's denouncing it.
Dead people are on the scene, and it's now you wonder, you know, it's a brewing potential crisis. Well, is it going to be? Yes, it could very well be a crisis.
No, I totally understand that. I just think it's... You know, how many people died? How many Americans died? Four?
Four.
Four. How many people die in all those countries every day during their own internal turmoil?
Well,
I understand. You know, like, we lost four people. They are losing thousands of people.
Yeah, but it was it's what it represents. Those four deaths.
I understand it, but it's just like, if some guy, some crazy person runs up and punches someone in the face, like, should everyone run after them? The whole group? Or should they just worry about this one individual person?
Of course.
Like, what are you going to do? Move in and take over Libya because somebody... You know, killed somebody else like that.
No,
just...
but it's not just one or two people. It may infuriate and may spread. You don't know.
Well,
you know,
no, you need to show calm now.
Egypt is not a stable country.
Neither is Libya.
Libya is not a stable country. So what is America to do? What is Obama to do?
Calm.
Well, that's a good solution.
Are you kidding me?
Obama is trying to do that, but
it's
you know,
when your little child hits your older sibling.
But
what do you do?
If
you do nothing.
Well, if he doesn't do anything, you know, there's all going to be
what are you going to do? Blow him up because some guys, a group.
So how does this affect his election? He's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't.
If you're intelligent, you know that there's no beneficial result of going in there and doing anything more drastic.
Did you see what Romney?
Everyone knows what Romney did. Romney's an idiot.
So now we're talking about it in the aspect of the election. Yes, Romney's an idiot. He voiced a stupid, critical
What's
remark.
Scary is I would say about 50% of the country probably agrees with what he said.
No, I don't think it's that high. Oh, Romney criticized the White House and criticized the embassy.
I think he spoke shortly after the Egyptian incident, the Libyan incident.
Right, correct.
So his timing was way off. Really in the middle of...
His timing was way off, but he did criticize the White House for their response.
For trying to assuage the situation. Yes. They said, no, you have to go in there and put your foot down, because they attacked the embassy in Cairo, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
They attacked the embassy in Cairo.
And then they actually killed somebody in Libya.
In Libya, correct.
So, you know, he spoke after the Cairo incident and said, what, we can't just say...
Right. So he wants to start a war.
Patient. Oh, well, yeah, he wanted to go in there and beat everyone
up. He really compounded a problem. The thing that Obama says is Romney seems to have a tendency to shoot first and aim later.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, he doesn't have his finger on the pulse when it comes to foreign affairs. But, you know, it's a very delicate situation. Does Obama want to get involved in an international crisis 52 days before the election?
What international crisis? Well, there is no international crisis. How can it be a crisis?
It's not over. It's not resolved.
Of course not, but pull the people out. Let Libya work itself out. Let Egypt work itself out.
Well, it may not
but
Americans support these countries.
Totally.
They were
Well, now we have to support Libya.
Correct.
Egypt, we've had a very long-standing relationship with them, and this new uprising.
Mubarak out of there. Was that the right thing to do? A year later, we're looking at Egypt is pretty dangerous.
It's
teetering on, you know, a lot of problems.
Of course. But what... I don't want us to go in there and set up a government like we're doing in a lot of other countries. Exactly the problem.
No, I don't think that Obama even considers that.
I know that, but how much control, how much influence should we have?
What do we do? What happens if the killings don't
Hands
stop?
Hands off. Pull the people out. It's their country.
Well,
it's not our country.
It may not just end Egypt.
If they don't want our emissaries there, then we don't have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not comfortable and safe in that country, mm-hmm. and the Egyptians can't protect us and they want us there, mm-hmm. then you know what? That's their job to straighten their stuff out.
I don't agree with you, Andrew.
Like, honestly, there's no benefit of us staying there and putting people into danger, because it's just going to rile up the country even more and create more of a hostile situation. Pull everyone out.
Well, you know, the Middle East, there are lots of Middle Eastern people that rely on the UN, the NATO forces, and the Americans to help them get through this very...
If they want military advice and guidance, then fine, leave military personnel
in
there.
But you're going to satisfy 90% of the country. The 10% could be the rebels who don't want you there, and all of a sudden there's problems.
The problem is you're going to incite them more if you leave your people in there, like your diplomats and things like that. Then you surround them with more military, and then we're also in there doing military support and training and all this other stuff. It looks like to them we're invading their country and trying to take over. And that's just because maybe they're not educated in the situation, or... They're just getting riled up because the U.S. is very dominant in a lot of these countries. They have a lot of influence on most of the major players, like Saudi Arabia and now Iraq.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting perspective, and I don't know if Obama called you to talk to you about it, but, you know, he's got this issue on his plate. He's in the middle of a campaign, and it's going, you know, everything he does, everything that goes on now affects the election. There was a big news today also. We're going to move a little bit on. The Feds announced that they're going to keep the interest rates low, and they're doing this because they want to keep the unemployment numbers, you know, shrinking. I got an interesting email. Joe, you got that email today regarding the economy and how Obama handled the economy.
I've got it right here.
Yeah, tell me what it says.
Okay, so it says, speaking as somebody whose views would usually be more represented by the Democrats, may I ask you how we would explain to a layperson in the street what Obama has done for the economy? It seems to me he was handed a golden opportunity after the election to set about massive public works on infrastructure such as railroads, roads, bridges, and energy, alternative, locally produced, and more robust transmission network. The public would have gone with him, given the jobs this would create, and the country would be made more competitive given our aging, neglected infrastructure here. Can anyone say what he has done? I can't think of anything on this scale except for finding trillions to loan to the banks. I am not hearing what Romney would do either, don't get me wrong. I find it strange in a recession with the economy dominating talk shows and the news that nobody is actually giving specifics on what they would do to get people back to work. What would the panel do?
Yeah, you know, I have a very similar feeling to that. A couple of months ago, you know, I was kind of disgusted with Obama. You know, I like him. He's an intelligent man. Not that I would ever vote for Romney, but I'm like, you know, he hasn't really lived up to any, some of the promises and some of the things that, that were quoted in that email. You know, you had an opportunity, you had a golden opportunity to do some really good national work on our financial mess. And frankly, I was disappointed. And I think a lot of us feel that way. And then you sit there and you say, well, you know, does he really, do we really vote for him again? What are we going to get? The same 4 years of this centrist? And, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way. What do you think, Drew?
Well, I think the problem is about two or threefold. First off, the fact that we were in a recession.
Yes.
There was no money to actually initiate any of these real major overhauls.
Well, they printed money.
Fine, printing money, but that only devalues the money. And then also,
but they got all that money for the TARP.
That's because it went from the banks to reinforce the banks and
right,
the currencies.
Correct.
Whereas this would diminish the currency, lowering the actual money that everyone has in their pocket, diminishing what you're actually bringing
right,
home. So it would only make the rich richer yet again, yeah, if you actually just printed more money or took out more bonds, which would also weaken the dollar.
Right.
So there was no real way to do that unless we raised taxes. And he could not get a tax raise through the government in any
but
way.
But he had a Democratic Congress the first
for a short term, yes, but also filibusters were
do,
holding
right,
up
yeah,
anything he could
you're
possibly
absolutely
do.
Right.
So in order to actually start any of these projects, he could not get anything through the Congress.
Correct.
There was no major action or like a war or something like that that would instigate the country to move towards major
like financial
like shake up and starting new projects. So first of all, the projects that the person spoke about were mostly like green energy infrastructure.
Well, yeah.
There was some infrastructure,
right,
but for the most part, it's mostly green energy and new movement, which the Republican Party does not agree with in the first
correct,
place. They don't want you building trains because they like cars.
Right.
They like car-dominant industry,
right,
oil. So that, those projects were not getting any kind of green light. The
yeah,
only thing you could have improved were the roads. Then increasing the tax base by increasing jobs may have happened, but it was going to be so hard to get the kind of capital that they needed to
yeah,
start in the first place. So unless he could raise taxes or get funding from the government, there was nothing he could have really done.
Uh-huh.
Unless someone actually jumped from the Republican side and said,
yeah,
we need to do something.
Right.
The problem is they laid on their party lines, whereas Democrats are more willing to fold over, which makes Republicans easier to push things forward.
Right.
So
okay,
I think it's really hard to say that Obama didn't do anything.
Well,
where Democrats...
But it looks that way.
Democrats tend to bend more than they than Republicans do.
Yes.
So when Republicans are like sitting there at 40% or wherever they
yes,
had in the House, they can sit there and say, we're not voting for
right,
this at all.
Right.
They're
you're
not
right,
going to... Let that filibuster
that's
break.
That's true. We know that. Okay, let's take a minute now. We'll be back, and we're going to continue the discussion because Andrew sounds pretty smart today.
Just sitting, waiting, seems like such a waste of my thoughts and feelings that I
Every August for the past 10 years, Heritage Foods USA has had the great honor of announcing the arrival of a new generation of Good Shepherd Ranch Heritage Turkeys and a new chapter in the history of an endangered species. You have to eat them to save them. While many farmers now use the term, Frank Reese and his team raised the truest example of the original heritage turkey. According to the USDA, they remain the only farm allowed to use the name Heritage on their label. We hope you reserve your healthy, naturally mating, flying, standard bronze, bourbon red, white holland, slate, black, or Narragansett turkey today. Let's do it again and support the brightest hope for the turkey. We guarantee these are the best tasting turkeys ever, or your money back. Prices start at $75. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Okay, Flash Talks Cash, we're back. They're talking turkeys, Thanksgiving.
That
we're talking
like
election day
that
first.
That seems like a lot for a turkey.
$75, yeah. But, you know, it's a heritage turkey. We had one last year.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes.
I was at a CSA the other day, and someone was talking about the seafood.
Yeah.
You know, like CSA Seafood, yes. Whatever that thing is.
Yes.
They were saying $13 a pound for lobster.
That's a pretty good price.
How is that a good price?
That's not a good price?
No.
If it's a good fresh caught lobster, I think it might be.
No way.
How much is lobster?
Like £4. $4 a pound.
Oh, I don't know. All right. Well, you know, I guess this these are organic and farm raised and stuff.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
So let's continue our talk. You know, we have to get to Election Day before we get to Thanksgiving. So let's deal with let's get our priorities in order. So you're talking about the economy, and you feel that Obama's hands were tied. He would have done it if he had an opportunity.
Well, let's look at it this way. The debt ceiling is a perfect example of what's going on. Like, that whole issue. Like, yes. That should never come. It should never come.
Never.
That's the most ridiculous.
That's right.
Those are a bunch of children saying, I'm going to push you to the... It's playing chicken with the country.
Well, they did the same thing with the student loan interest rate.
Student
same thing.
Not even close to the same thing.
Okay, but I'm just saying, but they did the same behavior.
You're talking about financially crumbling the country and then the world.
Correct.
And you're really going to go to that level? Like, that's how far these people are willing to go.
So...
Like, what? Like, how is he going to get anything else pushed through if these are the people he's dealing
with? Well, for the next 4 years, do you think that anything's going to change? No.
No, but you know what? At this point, I would say if I was Obama, go ahead. Cripple the country, cripple the world, and see what happens, and see whose head is going to be on the platter.
His second term is going to be different because he doesn't have to worry about being reelected.
Lame duck.
You're right.
Go ahead.
Well, not lame duck, but you know he has less to lose.
You
want to
push me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know
now
what?
He can play. Now he can play hard.
I mean, he's a great speaker. I mean, even if he can't get anything through, he should just be up at the pulpit, just get like
telling them
people getting trying to maybe incite. His ideas into people.
I would be completely.
Well, he did do that a little bit during the past when he got up and said, "I'm sick and tired of you guys behaving this way." And then he did some his own stuff. He bypassed a lot, some of the
Obamacare is one of those things that he got bypassed.
So you might be right. Then the second term he might get more forceful.
I would just completely admonish him. Be like, "Yo, you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're doing." Like honestly, it's so scary that these people. Who won this country have no idea. They're all listening to the lobbyists saying, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I know.
Don't do that.
I know.
If we get rid of lobbyists, we'd be in a much better place.
Yeah, that's another hole, McGill. We're not going to go
then,
there.
Then you could talk about all the money that Obama's raising from the rich people this year. You heard about that?
Of course I heard about that. Okay, the other thing, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, is that the Feds are keeping the interest rates low. They promised to keep them low probably through 2015, which made the stock market surge today.
Of course.
So we're wondering, actually, this probably will benefit Obama in the election because it's going to help him keep his economy going. It's not going to have spikes going up. It could possibly bring the unemployment rate down a little bit more.
It's once a quarter they do it or once every 6 months?
I'm not really sure. I think maybe once a quarter. They at least meet and discuss this, yes. So so I'm wondering, did the Federal Reserve cave for Obama or are they really independent?
Well, there's actually steady growth going on now and you would want to keep that going. And if they actually increase the interest rates, it would just lower... Like people buying houses and people reinvesting and doing things.
The unemployment rate would go higher.
Loans for like payroll, like small business loans would then go up in value.
Yeah.
People wouldn't be able to pay those off and like keep functioning their business. So it just, at this point, we're not out of a recession. There's still 9-10% unemployment.
It's eight.
Well, yeah, I think it's seasonally affected. And I think next month is going to go way up again.
Okay.
So I think, honestly, we're not there yet.
Yeah, of course, we all know we're not there yet. You talk to most Americans, even though most people are working. I mean, 92% of the people are working.
Still working, but it's a lot of part-time jobs, a lot of seasonal
painful.
Stuff.
Painful. It's painful still.
And people aren't making as much as they were.
Well, now, Obama, this is the part that I tell you that Obama doesn't promote himself well enough. He passed a few months ago, he announced energy-efficient standards. That car makers have to double the average fuel economy of the car, hitting over 50 miles a gallon by 2025.
So
now, you never heard of that. Probably never heard of that. Now, I know you and Joe don't drive cars.
Well, it's 13 years away.
Of course. But it's a policy that he passed, and it impacts from now to 13
years. You
want
to be honest about it? By 2025, they can come up with a whole new car that doesn't run on oil.
Come on,
let's be realistic here.
You're right,
if you really
want
to put firm...
However, the policy of...
I would say a real policy would be by 2025, I want no more carbon emission cars on the road.
Okay, well...
Can you do that?
I don't know if they could do that.
Why not?
But I'm not a scientist.
Not on the road? They already have electric cars and hydro-powered cars, and there's a lot of things they can do. What I would say is no new off-the-assembly-line carbon emission vehicles 2025. That would be realistic.
I don't know if it's possible.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't know.
The only problem would be the infrastructure. The infrastructure for the refueling and fueling of these cars. Right. And then if you did that, that'll create more jobs.
Well, the other side of the other side of that discussion, I don't know if what you're proposing is even possible. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. But the other side of it is, you know, rather than increase the miles per gallon, the energy efficient, the quickest and the best way to do it to just tax the gasoline higher, like they do all over Europe and many parts of the other world, you know, the rest of the world. We have a very low tax.
Or a lot bigger than other countries, though.
It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with Americans are spoiled. They don't pay a lot for gasoline. And we love our cars and we just get in the car and we drive because it's not painful. You know, in Europe, it's like, you know, $6 for a liter of gas or a gallon of gas. I'm not sure.
A liter.
And they sell more Ford Geos over in Europe.
I sell a lot of diesel cars as well.
Okay, but the point is they're effective, and it's not that their price of gas is any different than ours. They pay the same price we do. However, they have a huge federal tax on it, and that keeps people out of their cars and saves on gas.
I really think it's all about the size of the country and the relativity of the people to each other. I really do.
No, I don't think it has to do with
the
size.
I think it's a combination.
And I think that, you know, Europeans have embraced the trains and public transportation. They use the money more wisely. We get in our car and we go to the deli.
Well, it's
we're blessed here in New York City to have
definitely. Of course. Definitely. But that's only, you know, 8 million people out of 350 million people.
Saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that, you know, if you were down in most other states, most other cities, city where I'm from, there's one subway.
That's right. And it doesn't work. It doesn't run. Yeah, it doesn't work for most people. Correct.
So they have to build, you know, they would have to, you know, be building all these new trains.
Well, and you know, in our America, I mean, Obama did give a lot of money to states to ramp up their high speed trains. And the guy in Florida gave his money back. You know, the governor in Florida was supposed to run from Orlando to Miami or Orlando to Tampa. And he says, we don't want it. Take it back. We don't want your money. He's a Republican. And Governor Christie, he gave back the money. He didn't want a tunnel, another tunnel between New Jersey and New York. He gave back the money. So, you know, they had play the politics there, too. They try. But we, you know, we have to come up with something. You know, climate is a problem. What's the word?
Greenhouse effect?
Well, yeah, the greenhouse effect. I'm thinking of climate. What's the
climate,
word?
Climate change?
Climate change.
No,
yeah,
climate control? Climate like a change. Car?
Climate, you know, the climate problem we have. Yeah. The climate problem we have.
Well, our climate problem is because of China. It's, at this point.
No, I don't think that China's the only person who's at fault.
Our hole is shrinking.
Okay, well, we still have problems. Have you gone to L.A. and seen the smog? Come on. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about this week is, you remember a couple of weeks ago I came up with an alternative profession? I said be a whistleblower.
Oh, thank you.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one.
And you didn't follow my advice because listen, because you're still doing your old profession. But Joe, you might think about this again. There's a guy who his name is Bradley Birkenfeld, and he was formerly a banker at UBS. If you recall, a couple of years ago, UBS got in a lot of trouble for hiding the Americans' money in the Swiss bank accounts. Well, he's the one who blew the whistle on that. He worked for UBS, and he got caught criminally and wound up going to jail for 2.5 years for being part of the
scheme.
Right. But he also explained the scheme and told the IRS how the scheme worked. And he got, you ready for this?
$200 million.
$104 million award from the IRS. Of course, he put 2.5 years in prison.
I'd do it for $104 million.
No kidding, $104 million. So you know what that turns out to be for 2.5 years? He earned $4,600 for every hour he spent in prison. So I'm telling you.
I wonder how much of that money went to protection.
No, like based upon the amount, because the
IRS.
Joking.
I'm saying this guy's in prison and he has $104 million.
He's out now. He's out now. So
I wonder how much he owes.
He helped recover $5 billion.
Hey, Joe, you think he has an Aryan Nation tattoo on his body somewhere?
I don't know. But you know what? I told you that's an interesting new profession. And here we go. 104 minutes, the highest, obviously, the IRS has ever paid out. And it goes to show how serious the IRS is in this program because they were diddly-daddling for a while. while, and now they are serious and they're turning.
It's like National Treasure, the movie with Nicolas Cage.
I don't know.
He found the greatest treasure of all time, and he got like $1.6 billion.
Sounds a little bit.
It's like a movie, Joanne.
It sounds a little fiction.
I don't know who am I going to blow the whistle on. I don't think, you know.
Well,
it's not a career for me. I can't blow the whistle on Patrick Martin. I'll get paid like $100 a quarter.
Joe, shut your mouth. Stop talking, Joe.
It's all out there in public, so don't say anything else. We're going to sign off now. We'll see you next week for the 101st show next week. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.